All right, welcome back, everybody, to the Cut the Fat Weight Loss Podcast. And wow. I have some exciting news for you today. Today we have Blythe back with us. Welcome back, Blythe.
God, you know what? I feel like a special guest star or something on today.
It's been a while. You know, people have been missing you. You know, one of the listeners said, wrote on Facebook, Ray, you're good, but with Blythe, you're better. I said, no joke. I'm like tick without tack.
Do you know what? I got little warm and fuzzies when I read that comment. I love it. It's fun. It's great to be back. I'm glad we finally kind of worked out the kinks. We've got the whole Skype thing going on. We are like technologically advanced for you guys.
That's right. That's right. So in today's podcast, you know, basically this is going to be the Blythe show. So I want to hear some weight loss tips that you can give people so they can get kind of recalibrated to the Blythe Allberg way of fat loss. So why don't we just go ahead and jump in and start giving them some of your fat loss tips that maybe that you've kind of refined and learned while you've been away living in Panama City.
Well, I've been baking in the sun and enjoying the warm ocean waters. Yes, no, it is right. Beautiful here. It is spring break in full effect. But I have been doing research. And, you know, lately I've kind of shifted towards the healthier way of eating. Something I've found moving from Baltimore, Maryland to Panama City is that a lot of people here eat fast food. And that's something, I'm not saying that didn't happen in Baltimore, but it's like readily available. There is a fast food place on every street corner. And I find that health is not one of the biggest concerns here. It's people still want to be fit and look great, but the health kind of falls behind. So I've got some tips. I did a little bit of research and I found a couple of websites I want to recommend to you guys today and a book that I started reading that I really like. The first tip I have, though, is underestimate yourself. And I think this is a great general tip for anybody out there who is starting on their fat loss journey. Underestimate yourself, meaning if you're going to start measuring your food and you grab the little half cup scoop for your oatmeal, instead of doing the half cup scoop and allowing yourself that extra heap, just level off the scoop. Underestimate yourself. Even maybe take a tiny bit out, brush a little bit out of the top of that half cup scoop. So now you're just under the 150 calorie mark for the half cup of oats. You'll be saving yourself a few calories for later. Same thing with peanut butter. That's one of those things you can measure and you're like, oh, that little extra bit doesn't really matter. And then you lick the spoon. So underestimate yourself with high calorie things and with high carbohydrate things. It's something easy that you can start doing today.
You know, people, when they listen to us and they hear us talk about calories, you know, we've talked in the past about how, you know, the calorie counting model or the calories in versus calories out model isn't complete, but it doesn't mean that it's totally off kilter. Calories do, of course, matter in the end. I mean, if you eat 5,000 calories a day and you don't exercise, obviously there is a disconnect there that ultimately is going to result in weight gain. That can't not happen.
But that's exactly right.
What we want to focus on is that more is not necessarily better. You know, when we're talking about cutting calories, cutting 600-700 calories out of your diet is not necessarily better than cutting, let's say, 100 or 150 calories out of your diet.
Well, there's a really cool video on YouTube, and this is where I got the underestimate yourself from. It's fatlosstroubleshoot.com, and it's Lee, L-E-I-G-H, Peel, P-E-E-L-E.
She writes a couple of books called The Fat Loss Troubleshooter, and I think the book you're referring to is called Body by Eats.
And it's got 30 recipes in it. It's a cool book. It's got a lot of all the things that we eat on a day-to-day basis, and it shows how quickly it can just get out of control. I mean, if you're someone who estimates what you're eating all the time, we allow ourselves a lot. And I'm not a huge calorie counter, but I do know that when I start writing down, paying attention to what I'm eating, logging my foods, I get a lot more gain than when I don't.
Oh, totally. Whenever I, you know, when I'm in my weight loss group working with people, one of the things that I've noticed is that when people start to not see results, if I ask them, have you been writing down your food? Have you been keeping your journal? Almost always it's after they stop writing stuff down. And I'm not keeping calories per se. I'm not having them count calories. I'm just having them write down and see the food that they're eating.
Yeah.
When they stop writing that stuff down, the weight stops coming off.
That's exactly right. And there's a huge correlation there. So guys, remember that. If you're ready to get serious, write it down.
And then, as you said, just start underestimating yourself. Once you've kind of calibrated yourself to what you're eating, just start cutting out a little bit of it here and there. You know, instead of that heaping tablespoon of peanut butter, make it a level teaspoon or slightly below that level teaspoon.
Yeah.
Because when you start to cut back on the quantity of the food that you're consuming on just a small level, you know, when we talked about mindless eating, we talked about cutting, you know, your meal size by 15, 20, 25%. That, you know, when you do that, you're not necessarily going to feel deprived, but you're going to start cutting out just small quantities of the calories just from each and every meal.
Right. That's exactly right. You know, if you do a heaping measuring cup, half cup measuring cup of oats, you might be getting an extra 60 calories.
And then you take that on a per meal basis.
Yes.
And it does add up to quite a bit.
I think doing it, you know, while you're preparing your food and just sweeping a little bit extra out of there or leveling off the peanut butter tablespoon, I think that you won't feel deprived because now you're kind of like, you're taking responsibility. You're being true to yourself on, okay, I'm going to make sure I eat a tablespoon of peanut butter. You're just being true to yourself. I think it's going to feel good. I think it's going to empower people.
Right. And each and every time you do that, you're kind of refocusing yourself and you're confirming to yourself that health is a priority. And you're doing it in such a way, as you said, that doesn't make you feel deprived, which is very important.
Yeah.
So, I mean, ask yourself, are you really going to miss that half a teaspoon of extra peanut butter?
No way.
You're not going to eat it. No.
But if you eat the level teaspoon, you can still lick the spoon. Just saying.
Right.
All right. So my next tip is very simple. It is something that people can do today. Take out one condiment. This is the way I actually started. I'm talking 15 years ago when I actually started paying attention to what I was eating. I became aware. I took out butter. I just decided one day, you know what? I'm just going to take butter out of my diet, see what happens. I missed it at first. Wasn't horrible. It took maybe 3, 4, 5 days to get over. And guess what? Pounds started falling off. And that was only one little teeny tiny change that I made. And guess what? With taking out the butter, I started eating less bread because now I wasn't eating the bread with the butter. So it kind of escalated into like a larger lesson for me. But it was very, very simple to do.
You know, again, it goes back to this whole process that it's what I call, I've actually called it the compulsion engine, okay? So when we talked about the calorie counting model, we talked about how the formula kind of travels both ways. When you start cutting calories, that has an impact on the other side of the formula, which is when you cut calories too far, you start to creep food in, you start to creep extra calories in without you knowing, you start to move less, your metabolism decreases, you start to burn less in the form of heat. Mm-hmm. So if we decrease large quantities of calories again, then you start to activate what I call the compulsion engine that compels you to seek out small quantities of food here and there. You start to move just a little bit less. And it's the kind of thing where you don't notice it consciously. So when you're talking about dropping out one condiment, what you're doing is you're kind of going underneath the radar, so to speak, of your metabolic kind of processes so that your body is getting fewer calories in such a way that it doesn't notice, you know?
Right. Love it. And it's simple.
Very, very simple. It's a very good point.
And something you can apply today. So I wanted something that people could walk away from this podcast and promise themselves one or maybe even two or maybe even three changes today. Something you can do today to make a change. We're always looking for something new to do, a new idea that you can just implement. And there's another one for you.
Great.
Now, in the past, I know I have mentioned how important water is. In fact, I wrote an article about water as I'm looking at a picture of the ocean in front of me. I wrote an article about water and its importance, the role it plays in our metabolic processes. But one thing I didn't mention is sodium. Now, sodium, water, potassium, those things all kind of go hand in hand. For those of you who are not drinking right around 3, maybe 4 liters a day, I think I put a post up on our website one time talking about drinking 1 ounce per pound of body weight up to, say, like 200 pounds or so. 200 ounces of water is a lot of water. But going on a lower sodium diet, or even just writing down the amount of sodium that you're intaking on a daily basis, look at the food that you're eating, check out the sodium, and with a change in the amount of sodium that you're taking in, meaning by lowering it and drinking the water, you're going to be losing. It'll be water weight, but it will still be weight. Now, while you're doing that, you know, some people ask the question about, well, what about the potassium levels? What about my electrolytes and things like that? That's the question that always pops up when I tell people to start drinking a lot of water. Well, you can take care of that by eating high potassium foods that are healthy for you. Avocados are great. Kiwis are great. Bananas are okay. They're higher in potassium. Google high potassium foods, and you can find things that are very healthy. You should be eating them. It'll help with your variety of foods, and it will also help with a lower sodium diet that will help keep you feeling lean. And, you know, for people with high blood pressure and things like that, that's a huge help.
Huge help. And let me give you some figures to kind of go by. When we look at the average American intake of sodium versus potassium, okay, here, the average American consumes about 3.5 grams or 3,500 milligrams of sodium on a daily basis. That's average. Now, when we look at potassium, the amount that they typically consume is about 2.8 grams or 2,800 milligrams. So let me kind of put it into perspective for you. If we looked at the diet of the average cave person. You know, I've always talked about the Paleolithic lifestyle and how I'm a fan. You know, I'm a fan of eating in such a way that our Paleolithic or Stone Age ancestors would consume, because that's what our bodies evolved upon. But when we look at their diet, the average caveman, it's estimated, consumed about 15 grams of potassium. That's 15,000 milligrams of potassium. And guess how much sodium?
Oh, very low. I'm going to say like, not even 1,000 probably.
Very
like,
good, Blythe. It's actually 0.6 grams.
Oh.
So 600 milligrams of sodium in comparison to 15,000 milligrams of potassium. And look at us. We're consuming 3,500 milligrams of sodium and an embarrassing 2.8 grams of potassium. And the body wants that chemistry to be balanced. When it's not balanced, everything in your body suffers, including metabolism.
That's exactly right. And my favorite part about that, about what you just said, is just the digestive health, just being healthy and keeping everything in balance is where it all starts. So you think about where our bodies were initially programmed for all of this is way back in the Paleolithic times, like you talk about. That is the computer program that is inside our bodies. That's what they're meant to run on. And now, whether or not you live that lifestyle, you know, to the fullest, will determine how you feel on a day-to-day basis. But the cool thing about that is you can reach new levels of that every day by watching your sodium intake, by boosting up your potassium, by eating less processed foods. And this is why we're always preaching, watch the processed foods, because you look at the sodium content of a deli meat versus a fresh chicken, an organic chicken breast that you buy that's never been frozen. Look at the sodium content difference. The more natural, the better, always.
And as you mentioned, it's sometimes is just as simple as going out and making food choices that are, you know, following what we call the golden rule, which is eat the food in the package nature provides. So oranges, apples, you mentioned bananas, but also sweet potatoes are a great source. There is a supplement that I love to recommend to people just for general health. I consider it a superfood, and it's not sexy by any means, but it's available and it's fairly inexpensive. Okay, so here it is. It's called brewer's yeast.
Oh.
Okay. Brewer's yeast is a really great source of all kinds of nutrition. It has huge quantities of B vitamins in comparison to other foods. Not huge quantities in comparison to a B vitamin on the market, like a synthetic B vitamin, but it's got natural high levels of B vitamins. It's got 600 milligrams of potassium per 2 heaping tablespoons. It's got 16 grams of protein per 2 heaping tablespoons. It's got 2 grams of RNA and DNA. And RNA and DNA are two components that help the body to repair and regenerate. It's considered an anti-aging component found naturally in the brewer's yeast. It's got inositol and choline. These are things that help with brain function. So taking a couple tablespoons of brewer's yeast, and there's a brand I recommend called Lewis Labs. And the only reason I recommend that brand is because they grow the brewer's yeast on sugar beets. So it doesn't have high levels of sugar, but it's not nearly as nasty as some of the other, and when I say nasty tasting, as some of the other brewer's yeasts on the market, which come from the actual beer brewing industry. It's a byproduct of the beer brewing industry.
I was going to say, did you just say nasty? That was nasty. Funny to me. Well, brewer's yeast is great in smoothies. If you like breakfast smoothies with Greek yogurt or you know, if you do like a berry smoothie, brewer's yeast is great. It's easily hidden in something like that.
I would challenge. I've never had it in a smoothie because it's so nasty. I just put it in water and drink it down. It's got kind of a, you know, if you get the Lane Labs brewer's yeast, which is found at most health food stores, it basically has like a nutty flavor to it. It's kind of like a, as I mentioned, like a nasty nutty flavor. But you get used to it. After the first 2 weeks, you get used to it, and it becomes somewhat easy to take. I personally wouldn't put it in smoothies just because I like the taste of my smoothies, and I don't want to ruin the taste of the smoothie. But I just put it in water, take it down like a shot. But it is fantastic stuff as far as nutrition goes. Like okay. I say, it's not a goji berry or an acai berry or a noni fruit as far as its exotic kind of image. It's not sexy at all, but it is a powerful nutrient.
Okay, and that's something that's easily found at any health food store.
Right, and it's very high in potassium. 600 milligrams is a really good dose of potassium for one particular food like that.
Okay, great. So that kind of leads to my last tip, and that is focus on digestive health. Get the whole idea of fat loss, like that being your main goal. Don't let fat loss keep you from believing in being healthy and paying attention to your digestive health and paying attention to, you know, making all the healthy choices that are out there. You know, I asked Ray earlier today, if you had a pineapple sitting in front of you and a bowl of grapes sitting in front of you, which one would you choose with the knowledge that you have? And what did you say?
I said pineapple.
Right. And that's because?
Because of the higher sugar content of the grapes.
Right. And that's something that you and I just know. Now, there are so many tips out there that we can keep feeding you guys. And I'll make sure that I keep putting them on our Facebook page, things that will help you guys make choices. But, you know, a lot of the tropical fruits, pineapples, papaya, kiwi, those things are high in bromelain. They're high in potassium. They are easily digestible. And they're things that will help lead you to a healthier digestive system. Now, something I also wanted to mention before I get off of the whole digestive health issue topic here is a lot of people have food allergies and they just aren't aware of it. What are some of the high allergy foods, like commonly, you know, in our society? Cow's milk is one, right?
Cow's milk is a major food allergy for a lot of people. The other one is going to be wheat and gluten. Wheat, gluten, any kind of grain can be a problem for a lot of people. It's very specific. There, you can't really call which foods are going to be allergens in everybody. It's very specific to the individual. So sometimes it's soy. Soy can be a food allergy. Sometimes citrus can actually be a food allergy for some people. Eggs can be an allergy. The three biggest culprits are probably eggs. I know you don't want to hear about that one, but wheat and gluten.
But it's true.
And dairy.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, I think those are things that people should just be aware of. If they say, well, gosh, I eat a ton of eggs and I'm always bloated. Well, geez, maybe you're allergic to eggs. That might be something that you look into. Mm-hmm. There is an alternative out there that I found to Greek yogurt that I think tastes okay. And I'm not a huge fan of goat cheese, goat's milk or anything, but I tried goat yogurt. And for those of you who are not, you know, into the hormone-filled cow's milk or yogurts, you know, made from cow's milk, the goat yogurt is a way to go. Now, Greek yogurt, I just learned from Ray today, right, is that it's originally was made from sheep's milk. But it may have made a shift and maybe it's been being made from cow's milk now. I'm not sure. But goat milk was not horrible. I actually liked it. So that's another, you know, step in the healthy direction if you're trying to stay away from cow's milk and things like that.
Just in full disclosure, I think that's the case. I think somebody had mentioned that to me, but I'm not entirely sure about whether or not Greek yogurt is primarily made from goat's milk. But if anybody knows, just post it on Facebook for us so that we can clarify that.
That'd be cool. Yeah, I'd like to know.
So I want to point out that I just want to kind of support what you just said, because what ends up happening is we almost always get so caught up in the process of quote-unquote weight loss or fat loss that we start to lose sight of the fact that what we're really trying to achieve here is health. We don't see a truly, honestly healthy body that carries around huge quantities of excess fat. Doesn't happen. If you are healthy, fat has a tendency to fall off of the body or not be accumulated in the first first point, right?
Right.
So when it comes to plateaus, you know, people always talk to me about plateaus. Well, you know, I don't know why. Why am I not losing weight? Well, when we look at their overall health, when we look at their habits, usually what's happened when somebody has stagnated or kind of gone level on the scale is they have focused so much on pushing towards weight loss that they started to ignore the overall health of the body. And it's when we talk about overall health, we talk first about digestion and how healthy is the digestive system, right?
Right. That's exactly right. And just like you said at the very beginning, it's very rare that you see people who use the golden rule and eat things from Mother Nature's package, even if they are vegetarians. You hardly ever see people like that that are obese or carrying around copious amounts of body fat. So when you're making your choices, it's so important to make sure that you're making healthy choices, not just worrying about the macronutrients of, you know, how many carbs is in this or how many grams of fat or how many grams of protein. Don't be so focused on that. Is this a healthy food? Is it more general? It's probably an easier question to answer.
Absolutely. That's a very good point. You know, it sometimes is tough to call, you know, just what food is going to lead to weight loss. But it's very easy to look at a food and know if that's healthy. And it doesn't take a rocket science. It doesn't take us giving you a 10-point list of what's considered healthy to know what's healthy, right? If it's a fruit, if it's a vegetable, if it's a nut, if it's coming from nature and it's in the package nature provides, you have about a 90% chance that food's considered healthy within reason. Obviously, I realize you've got cocoa leaves out there with cocaine in them. That probably follows the golden rule, but it's not necessarily healthy. Tobacco's also kind of in the package nature provides, unless it comes in the form of a cigarette. But still, you don't want to be chewing on that. That's not healthy. But use common sense. I mean, if it comes in the package nature provides, it's a vegetable, it's a fruit, it's a nut. I have never met somebody who got fat or gained weight by eating too many vegetables or too many fruits or too many nuts. It's almost always attributed towards a diet that's focused on refined foods.
That's exactly right. Well, that kind of brings us full circle to the whole giving yourself a little bit less, because you could eat a bowl full of broccoli, raw broccoli. I mean, say you're just a broccoli lover. You're going to be so full by the time you get halfway through that bowl, you're not going to be able to eat anymore. So paying attention to your portions and giving yourself just a little bit less, if it's the right type of food, you're going to be satiated anyway.
Absolutely. You know, what I like to tell people is look up the calorie count of a Big Mac and then try to eat that same caloric number of broccoli. It's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Your stomach physiologically probably cannot hold that much broccoli or that much roughage.
Yeah.
And so nature has kind of built in its own portioning mechanism.
That's exactly right. And we totally ignore that. So if you are portioning your own foods, and we buy oatmeal in a big tall canister. I mean, you still have to measure it and pay attention to how much you're eating, but you really couldn't eat that entire canister without probably, it wouldn't even fit in your stomach. So like you said, I think I'm just confirming your point. I mean, I think that the whole following nature is the best way to go. And I think a lot of times we try to fool ourselves, and marketing and advertising plays a huge thing in that, where they make packaging that's attractive to us. Oh, this looks healthy. Oh, look, it says that it's made from all natural ingredients. Don't let that stuff fool you. You really know at the deepest level, is it a healthy food or not?
Totally true. Very good. So good points, Blythe. Thank you very much.
Sure. It was fun.
It was fun. Any parting words for the Cut the Fatters out there that have missed you so much?
Oh, I miss you guys too. But you know what? The one thing that's really kept me going and kept me feeling warm and fuzzy is all you guys who are on our Facebook page. I really enjoy going on there and being able to contact you guys through that. So please visit our Facebook page, Cut the Fat Podcast, all one long word. You can also check out our website, www.cutthefatpodcast.com. I know Dr. Ray and I are on there constantly checking. I do need to put some more recipes up online, and I will be doing so. I found that new book, Body by Eats, and I'm going to be using some of those recipes, putting those up online, because there are some great ones in there. So look for those. And if you haven't joined our Facebook page yet, share it with your friends. I know we've got a lot to offer on there, and we've got a lot of feedback coming in. Love it.
Love it too. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. And Blythe and I will be back very soon for the next Cut the Fat podcast.
Bye for now.
And as always, I leave you with Something New by the Grilled Lincolns.
To really care when you don't really care to know.